Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week. 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my home...
Look at the new archway. All organic. This is all under construction. It's about 40% complete. All right, so this is the second Wolfati that we have started construction on. People live in here.
It was almost 2 years ago that I started work on a small log cabin in the northern Canadian bush.
It's May 8th, 2015 on Friday. The time is 10:25 p.m. And up next from Amanda Froelich. This is dated April 12th, 2015. This man in this photograph built a low-cost tiny home for only $500. Oh, that is fantastic, don't you think? Look at that house. $500, everybody. Amazing. Tiny homes are all the rage nowadays, and why not? Who actually needs 1,000 square feet per person when most individuals spend at least 8 to 10 hours away from their abode just to be able to pay for it? It's a realization a lot of people around the world are waking up to, and for this reason, many individuals and families are seeking to simplify so they can spend more time enjoying just being alive. But to build a tiny home isn't as affordable as it might seem. While there are do-it-yourself options, many tiny homes on the market are luxurious, high-end living spaces, which come with a hefty price tag. Using salvaged materials and gifted items, however, can definitely keep the production of a tiny home economical. And Pacific Northwestern resident Scott Brooks has proven just this by building a tiny home for well under $500. That's still unbelievable. United States dollars, of course. And here's another photo. Now, that is a very cute place. I'd like to see the inside, wouldn't you? This is credited to Scott Brooks, by the way, the photographs. As showcased on GizMag, Brooks' home is quite small for a tiny home. It measures only 83 square feet and sits on a 20-acre plot of land. Wow! Owned by his friend in Washington. After Brooks spent 2 years journeying around Africa, Thailand, India, Nepal, Montana, and Alaska, he moved back home to settle a bit and help his friend start an organic farm. He then constructed the house to serve as his new sanctuary and dubbed it the Transforming Tiny Home, building the interior while his friend designed the structure. Cool. 20 acres of land. Wow. Must be nice. And there's the tiny home on the inside. Boy, that's tiny. Where does he cook? Probably outside, I would imagine. Brooks' tiny home isn't fancy by any means, with no plumbing, no refrigerator, and no cladding. Yet his no-frills lifestyle is evident in the structure he calls home at present. But there are many neat compromises his quiet existence boasts. Brooks is connected to the main grid, can heat his home with a wood stove that was gifted to him, and can clean up using a nearby outdoor shower and outhouse. Cool. Let's take a look. And there's his bed. He's got a place to sleep, looks like. And looks like he's got something else under the bed there. Very compact, I must add. Extremely compact. Credited to Scott Brooks again. And there's his wood stove. Cool wood stove. The basics are there. and the interior is efficient and compact with a sitting area, fold-down bed, a wall full of hooks, and storage shelving. Plus, Brooks has a generous work surface that doubles as a kitchen thanks to an awesome ninja-style hood that hides a portable propane cooktop. Oh, there it is, right there. Isn't that something, folks? Yeah, that is ingenious, isn't it? And look at his storage for his pots and pans right there, and his shoes. Look at the shoes on the right-hand side there. The compact home has a lot of natural daylighting thanks to a recycled skylight window and a large front window. Oh, look at that workspace in that tiny house. Isn't that cool? And a big picture window. Nice. As Brooks has proven in his earlier adventures, he doesn't need much to be happy. He has a beautiful outdoors, a front yard, and a safe, cozy space that he's proud of, hand-built with hard work and made possible through friendship. This home that costs less than $500 is certainly something to boast about, in our opinion. And there's his storage for his food right there. Very efficient. Look at that. He makes use of every single part of this tiny little house. That is so cool. Okay, and you can check out more and visit Scott Brooks' blog right by clicking right there. And more images from Giz Magazine. Let me check that out and see if we have any more photos of his tiny house. Just a moment. Okay, everybody. I clicked on that link and I didn't see any newer photos of his tiny house. So I would presume that that's it for the photographs, but that pretty much gives you a good idea of what it looks like. But let's take a look at the house from the outside again. I can't get over that stove, that hidden stove area. That's really cool. I like that quite a bit. And the price of building this thing is amazing. You know? Very, very affordable if you had a piece of land. Think of what you could do. Yep. That's going to do it for this report. Thanks for watching. Pink Eye.
All right. Today, matter of fact, let me make this announcement. Today's Wednesday. This coming Monday, which will be April the 3rd, this coming Monday, April the 3rd, 2023, you definitely need to tune in to our live stream on this coming Monday, April the 3rd, because we got a very special guest that's going to bring your paper, pen, pencil, crayon, recording. Well, we record all these podcasts anyway. But be prepared to take notes. I'm not going to announce who we will have on, but very important guest. And that's this coming Monday, April 3rd. And it'll be a life-changing program. Today, we're going to talk about bedroom villages. I got this idea from somebody else. You've heard of bedroom communities. Well, after, as a matter of fact, this guest will be on Monday. Really got the idea from this first, that person that will be on Monday. I'm not going to mention his name or their name, I'll put it that way. Bedroom villages. And matter of fact, if you go to our Facebook page, which is DIY Housing TV, DIY Housing TV at Earth Wealth Forest, but you can just put in DIY Housing TV and scroll down to the first link, and then Scott Brooks. There's an article there about Scott Brooks, who we just played an audio about, and they've got pictures. If you click on that article, you can see inside and outside pictures that That tiny house is big enough. Well, it's big enough for two people to live in, and it's good enough for to have four or five, possibly six friends come visit you. But definitely four friends can come over and visit you, no problem. Four or five people can come visit you. All at the same time, no problem. So, now, the work on our, because our goal, primary goal by, on December the 24th, we want to build 100 tiny houses in a day. So, this is a math problem. We're going to attack this a little bit each day, so we're going to take time right now to do that. Taking a page out of Scott Brooks's life, and once again, if you go to our Facebook page, DIY Housing TV, and you can take a look at what Scott built out of pocket, $500 with pictures. All right, we're going to call now. And now, if we take, let's get our calculators. If we take $1 million and divide it by $500, okay, we can build 2,000 houses with an individual budget of $500. So let's just say, for the sake of this conversation today, this is going to be one of our business models. So we would need to figure out a way in which we can, one, you start off with one, because everything starts with one. All right, what do we need to do to raise the $500? Now, some of us might have $500 cash in the barrel here right now. Good, great, you can get the materials and go. Some might be starting, so we got a $500. We know that if we build, and it, you know, it could be in 2,000 built in a day, or 2,000 built in a year. All right, now, you got 50 states, and we're playing with combinations here. There's 50 states in the union. So if we had a boots-on-the-ground partner in all 50 states, okay, then do we want to crank out, and that breaks down to 40 per state. Do we want to build all 40 in one day? Or do we want to break it down to 40 in one year? So you might want to have a separate business model where, okay, well, if I got 40 boots-on-the-ground partner in 50, you know, one in each state, and we built 40 a month. Well, let's see, 40 a month, taking weekends off, that's two a day. That's two a day. And let's see, times 50, that's 100 a day if you got boots on the ground in 50 states, in 50 locations, 50 states, or cities or towns. Because at 19,000, there's a whole lot of ways you can do this. All right. Let's just keep it real simple. Once again, these are personal finance math problems. That's what they are. So you figure, right, because today's Wednesday, you figure, okay, how long, if you're going to use the $500 model, because if you got the $500 model, you can probably retail it, sell it for $1,000. And make a $500 profit. We'll sell for $1,500, make a $1,000 profit. It's up to you. But the $500 model, you know, if you decide to, you know, look what can be done for $500. and look for other examples. Do your homework on a daily. YouTube's got plenty of videos which are being uploaded around the clock globally. Now, read articles as well, but, all right, if you don't have the $500, okay, partner up with some people. Our motto here, our mission statement here is teaching people how to build their own house using social capital. That's our mission statement. So, all right, you might have 100, and you partner up with 4 more partners, and voila, you got $500. If you don't have any money into the game, then five people with $100 each. So it's a combination any way you want it. But $500 is not a difficult, maybe we can do some daily, but 500 isn't a whole lot to get together. So make a list, and if you can't think of not one person that you can partner with, then you're going to need to build some social capital. Now, one way you can get it is, I don't want to give away. You're going to have to do some social capital maneuvering. And the guest we have Monday, he'll be talking about that too. So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much on that, although I've covered this topic before, that aspect of it. But anyway, so the $500 model, that's going to be one of the models that we're going to use to reach that seven-figure goal in a day. Now, it doesn't have to be a day. I mean, you can do it individually. You can do it, you can have a day model. You can have a monthly model. You can have a yearly model. But $500 times 2,000, it depends on how quick, because you're going to have to organize a team. That's what I'm saying. Start with one. For some, okay, because we had an audio on here yesterday or the day before, sometime earlier this week. Well, today's only Wednesday. They were talking about $200. So there's a $200 model. All right. Here are the models. $200 model, $500 model, $2,000 model, $5,000 model, $10,000 model, $20,000 model. I'm saying for those who want to, I'll be doing it because every model we're talking about, I'm going to have to replicate and use social proof. Just so I'm not just talking about it. But I'll be looking for between now and next Wednesday, I'll be soliciting partners for the $200 model and the $500 model. Later on, we'll get to the $2,000. This is me now. I don't want to put any limit on you, but this is me. I'll eventually get to the $20,000 model. But for me, I'm starting out with the $200 model and the $500 model. So by next Wednesday, hopefully I'll have that, and then we can announce, okay, we got this much in pledges. Here are our first two projects, and we're going to go from there. Now, let's take $1 million and divide it by 500. That's 2,000. That's why I figured out the program. Now, if we did $1 million divided by just $200, that's 5,000. Okay. And that's a reachable number within a year. But I'm looking at the 200 and the 500 at just those two houses to start, because we want to break down the funding process of it, you know, and document that so you can see it. And we want to break it down where, just like Lauren Nelson, who's 11 years old, and it was real simple for her. Her dad told her, you can look on Craigslist. She found something on Craigslist for $400. And that's an 11-year-old. So we want to break it down that simple. And then, you know, where do we get the materials? Where can we save on materials as far as cost factor? Stuff like that. Because what we want to do, after we build one successfully, the $200 model, the $500 model, then we want to wash, rinse, and repeat. Wash, rinse, and repeat. You just keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again. And the more you do it, you're going to find new and more efficient ways to do it. So we're starting off light, 200. Now we're going to stair step ourselves to 2,000, the $2,000 model, the $5,000 model, the $10,000 model, the $20,000 model. And then all that, you're moving towards the seven-figure day in December. If we're talking about, let's see, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, we're talking about 9 months. And 9 months will be here sooner than you expect. So go next Wednesday, for me at least, organize two teams those projects. Those two models, the $200 model on our way to the, and those are all component parts of the $10,000 and $20,000 model. Because once you get to the $10,000 and $20,000 model, you can move quicker. Teenage girl. Let's go to this audio.
She breaks the mold of what we think of as what girls are interested in versus what guys are interested in. She's an individual.
Welding, grinding, cutting, sanding. I'd much rather wear grease than makeup.
Her mind just works like an engineer. She wants to know why.
The project kind of took on a life of its own. Now there's literally thousands of people watching to see what she succeeds at next.
My name is Catherine DeMaria. I'm 14 years old, and I'm rebuilding a Pontiac Fiero.
All right, what are you working on today?
We're going to do welding first.
Welding first. Okay.
My car that I'm building is a Fiero 86 GT. Is going to be all black and yellow interior, and then the body is going to be gloss black with yellow racing stripes. My car is going to be fast and sporty and just cool.
Michigan has a great car culture, home of the Motor City. It's a great place to be to work on a car.
I'm going to be welding in the back of my frame rail right now. I'm going to do 1-inch stitches, so I'll have like an inch, no weld, and then an inch here. I got the idea to build my car the summer before I turned 12. I've been to one or two car shows with my dad before, and so that's where the idea sparked, hey, maybe I could rebuild a car.
She said, I want to redo a car so that it's done for my 16th birthday. And it's like, okay.
I just knew that it wouldn't work unless I had good reasons. So I'm like, well, if I build a car, then I'd get the experience. I'd be able to possibly look into future careers.
She's like, I'm going to pay for it myself. It'll be a car that only has two seats. So I won't have a lot of friends to get in trouble with. So we decided, okay, we'll let her try it.
Fiero, a brilliant example of Pontiac innovation in action. Fiero, only from Pontiac.
I picked the Pontiac Fiero because it's pretty much all curves. There's like no straight edges on it whatsoever, and it's little, so I figured it would be easier to rebuild than like rebuilding a huge semi-truck or something. And the amount that I personally spent on my car has probably been over $2,000 from babysitting and selling my welding art online.
She's put probably close to 1,000 hours of work, or maybe even more than that by this point.
All my friends are like, you should be putting on makeup, you should be prancing around with us all. And I'm like, I can't, I gotta work on my car. They're like, your car can wait. And I'm like, no, you can wait.
It's like in Twilight, Bella has this really old truck, and everybody teases her about it, but she loves it. Same principle.
One of the reasons why she's been able to keep her interest in this project is the fact that she continues to learn and to learn new skills.
What I'm holding in my hands right now is my camshaft. It moves the lifters, which moves the pushrod, which moves the rockers, which pushes down on the springs, which moves the valves. So far, the skills I've learned on this car is welding, grinding, cutting, sanding. I learned how to upholster things, how to change tires, how to change my fluids, how to take apart an engine. I look at different textbooks and things. Then I ask my dad and my uncle, what do you know about this? My goal for finishing the car is to have it done on my 16th birthday, because it's kind of like, you're 16, now you're free. Right now, I am about halfway through in both time and in progress, so I think it can happen.
Anything you gotta fill, you gotta sand more.
What? Sanding is the thing she hates far and away. Everything else she gets excited to do.
Somebody at some point took a rattle can and pretty much spray painted it black. So I have to sand all the way through all those layers and then repaint it.
The big trick is to keep that thing moving. Don't let it sit in one place ever.
Especially with black.
Yeah. Sanding is kind of like having to do laundry every day. It's just repetitive and there's not really much of a point to it other than it needs done.
I think that's taught her stick-to-itiveness and commitment, and then finally you see the end result.
The motivation for me is just being able to visualize what I want in the end, because otherwise you're just staring at the details. You need to be able to see the whole picture as well. I think the bolt's turning with it, Daddy.
Yep, it is.
It's a lot of fun working with my dad because we know how to joke but still get the work done.
We've created a rapport that we can talk about anything.
I mean, there's things that she shared with me that I think, there's no way I would have ever told my parents that. We've talked about money, we've talked about how to plan for college, we've talked about boys and sex, and it's just a safe space for her and I to just kind of grow and learn and build together.
Oh, that's an awesome weld. You should come see it.
Yeah, that looks nice, kid.
I like that weld.
Good.
One of the things that's probably surprised us the most is how many people have taken an interest in her story and how quickly it spread throughout the internet. And it really kind of probably started off of her forum. People started responding back. You know, I've got to spare this. Could I send it to her? Then pretty soon we had a pile of things that had been shipped to her for her project. And they came from Canada, from all over the U.S., from Australia. From there, the project kind of took on a life of its own. Auto Build, they're the largest automotive magazine on the planet, named Catherine Auto Build's 2012 Woman of the Year.
All the support has been really encouraging because it just shows that I am making a difference and I can do this. And so when I'm stuck on something, then I'm like, I'm not alone. I've got people out there who will help.
She knows that there's literally thousands of people watching to see what she succeeds at next. And so I think there's some of that in the back of her mind that I can't let these people down now.
I think people have been so enthusiastic because it's not necessarily something you see every day, because my age sets me apart from most people who work on them, and also the fact that I'm a girl working in what would be considered a guy's field. As much as that kind of annoys me, really, it's just annoying that people are always asking me, so what's it like to be a girl doing this? It doesn't really matter that I'm a girl doing this. I mean, I'm able to do it just as well as any other person.
Got it?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that there are enough women working in the engineering field because they think, oh, it's a guy's world. But I hear these stories about women who are in it, and they brought so much to it.
Hi, Catherine. Michelle Pickering. Great to meet you.
You too.
What do you want to see at the auto show, Catherine? You can see the rest of Chevrolet. You can see the Camaro.
Let's do the Camaro.
Okay.
I want to talk with them about their role mostly. I want to see how much women can actually bring to the automotive world.
see that neat stuff feature that we put into the
bumper?
Cool.
Did you put that in?
We put that in
there. You guys need to go there, and then we'll get a picture of the two of you by the bumper.
Oh, there's a handle. Look at this. There's a handle.
At 14, I never would have accomplished half as much.
How old are you?
14.
Wow.
Catherine just is so impressive in terms of her knowledge and her way she handles herself.
Her mind just works like an engineer. She wants to know why.
I'm just trying to figure out this timing chain thing. What's going on here?
I want to see how challenging it is or how different it is for women.
When I first came in, many times I was viewed as being a secretary. Today, that's different. There are many opportunities for women, although we still don't have an equal number of women in the engineering fields as we do males.
My concern is that as a society, we may not be encouraging women to go into science, technology, engineering, or math even, but Catherine seems to have figured it out all by herself.
We want to keep contact with you and make sure that, you know, you progress the way you are.
I look forward to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Clearly, it's going to be an exciting day when she gets to drive the car out of the garage, but I think she's going to be looking for what's next, because I think for her and for me, it's been that whole learning process that's been most important.
This car project has definitely changed my outlook on what I want to do. I've really become interested in being a mechanical engineer. After high school, I'd really like to go to a big engineering school. There's been a few places who have contacted me, and it's been kind of cool to see them reaching out already. It's important to me to be a role model in this project because I want to be there to say, hey, look, girls really can do this. You shouldn't put them down if they want to try. Just give them the chance. I think that people should have the chance to chase after their dreams and help them come true.
La-da-da-da-da. We'll be right back.
Okay, all right. Jump off topic. Kind of quiet today because we're preparing for Monday's podcast, but we got tomorrow and Friday to go to. All right. Bedroom villages. Bedroom, I got this idea. I mean, we've all heard of the term bedroom communities. So I ran across Flex, and we got a guest that'll be on Monday. Not going to announce their name until Monday. But, you know, they put together some tiny or micro houses. For people in, you know, an emergency situation. And so I said, you know what? Huh. And it's just for that. These structures have no plumbing, no functional kitchen in them, but they're good for, you know, overnight. You know, a place where you can sleep comfortably, safely, got your privacy. Now, it's on the grounds of a place where if you need to use the restroom or all that, that's all there. But, you know, people have emergency situations, so they built these units. So I thought, bedroom community. And what's another name for bedroom community? Because typically when you hear the term bedroom community, that's typically a suburb or in some cases an exurb outside of a larger, you know, city or metropolitan area. So I thought, well, you can call this like a bedroom village if you get a bunch of them, can, you know, together, but for the sole purpose of sleeping overnight. That's it. You know, you go cook, clean, live. This is just a temporary stopgap for emergency purposes. Because you have some people, you know, that they have to walk the streets at night or, I mean, under a bridge or wherever they can. So, anyway. And that can be part of your model, too. All right, like I said, you can pick one model or you can pick several models. You know, you're going to have a $200 model. Just like you go to an auto dealership, they have different models of cars. Well, if it's the same type of car, well, you know, here's the basic, and then you can have it with, what do they call it, you know, with the works. Okay. A deluxe car, what have you. So, on that note, somebody's yelling at Henry the Pig. We'll be back to the phone lines in a couple minutes. Okay, so we're doing sort of a, and it's not a short show one, but a short podcast today, semi-short. We're going to go take maybe one call or two. Bedroom Villages. Now, this is a prequel to the guest that we'll have on Monday, this coming Monday, because I basically got the idea from them. Let's see. So the new bedroom type of community, which I will call, the way we're going to set them up, there'll be Bedroom Villages, which I think those are like kind of easy to start off. Pallet Beds will be having live streams with video, with, you know, where you can see us, and we're going to be teaching people. This is sort of like an arts and crafts type thing, how to make pallet beds, or how to make a bed out of pallets. That's fairly easy, and we can either use them for personal use or we can sell them to generate funds. Okay, so two ways, because we got to raise, eventually we got to do $20,000, but to start off, you know, if we can put together a pallet bed, teach people how to make a pallet bed, and you can make a pallet bed for far less than $200 to $500. Whatever we put it together for it and sell it, then, you know, that can be used to, you know, get the amount of money that we need, anywhere from $200,000 to $20,000. And that'll be great for, you know, video collection. Then we're going to have weekly, actually, yeah, they're going to be weekly projects. Eventually, some of those weekly projects will morph into daily projects. And this, we're linking this all into, I'm promoting this coming Monday. All right, so. We got a very special guest that will be on that day, so, and I'm not giving up any names. Just be prepared to take notes, call in, and, you know, you can ask them questions directly and all that. So, okay, with that note, let's see. What's it? Take at least one phone call here. 309 area code, your mic is open.
Good morning, Ellie. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Chris.
This is Chris. Show so far. And I'm interested in this Monday show. So I love the intrigue that you put into this. Got some mystery.
Oh, you're going to love it.
I'm going to love it.
You're going to love it.
I know I am. Yep, I already know I am, and I've had some amazing. I've had an amazing morning, Started out with 413 on Clubhouse, and so we need to encourage people. I need people to come into Clubhouse to the 413 room. It is 5:30.
What room is that again on Clubhouse?
5:30 a.m. Central Time.
That'll be 6 my time. Okay. And
it should be 6:30
their time. What room do we need to go into? I'm looking at Fort now.
Go to the search bar, because this isn't a club. It's not a house. It's just a room.
Okay.
It's generated every day. And you type in the numbers 413, and it will come up.
Okay.
You just click it, you'll come into the room, and there is some amazing things, amazing people in there, but we are starting to interact and do things, not just forward think and give people encouragement in the morning. It's
oh,
now
that's the forward thinking room?
As well.
That's the forward thinking room?
Yes. Yep.
You know what? I've seen it, but I haven't stepped in there yet. Okay, I'm usually up that time of day.
Okay, well, everybody needs to say that I invited you in the room because we were encouraged to invite people in the room right here. So I would love to hear.
I will be in there tomorrow morning.
Beautiful.
Some of the best rooms on Clubhouse happen that time of day also.
Yes, they do. They're a very encouraging day, you know, to start your day. You can find the Daily Gratitude Room, and I'm so grateful because where did me and you meet? In the Daily Gratitude Room. And
right.
As I believe it was, you know, and...
It was Unleash Your Potential. It was that room. Which the moderator of that room, she just recently got married. So, I know they went two weeks without. Yeah, she got remarried last week or 2 weeks ago, but then she had. Anyway, they're not as consistent as they used to be because they used to go 7 days a week. But I will be. I'll be in 413 tomorrow morning, no doubt about it.
Awesome. Today, you know, we got introduced to someone that runs the 413 and gave us a link to someone that's on Instagram that has, you know, a million plus followers. And he's an amazing guy. But we were encouraged to go to his page, go to one of his posts, make a comment, and tag Stephen in it. And now, when this is where, you know, this is something I wanted to talk about today, because this is that social engagement of Goody, right? That we've been sitting here encouraging people to do. And, because, you know, Stephen is intentional. He's doing what he does. He gets up at 3:30 in the morning every morning to do this. So, you know, to meet people from all around the world, but actually initiate something. And I'm just very grateful to be part of it. And right now I want, you know, to encourage others to come in and you know, he'll know that you're new. But, you know, say Chris brought you in. You know, say you're there for a reason, and you're going to see how
the room is in the morning.
Awesome.
I'll definitely be there in the morning for that. That time of day, that's a good way to start the day.
Definitely.
That's definitely such a positive note to Tony today. All right, well, Chris, I'm a ended early today on here, we got the schedule's open for anything anybody wants to talk about tomorrow, so you can contact me. We got a trending topic. Guess you want to. We got everything's clear for tomorrow, and I don't know who's calling me from this area code that I don't even know about. But anyway, we're going to wrap it up for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day.